Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. All right. Good or bad? 1986. Good year, bad year for movies. I'm going to say good year. Only because Joe couldn't come up with just five movies. He came up with 10.
That was a dead giveaway right there. Yes.
Dead giveaway.
Dead giveaway.
Phil?
Good-ish.
AJ?
Oh, definitely good.
All right.
Yep. Definitely
Joe?
Good. I was amazed. A very good year. And in fact, after I posted something, I got suggestions from people of movies I hadn't even thought of, like Spike Lee's first movie, She's Gotta Have It, came out that year.
Oh, wow. You know, I still haven't seen Do the Right Thing.
Oh, really?
See, that
I have
seen.
I have to.
That I have seen. Cooley High.
You have to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
What's on your list?
Well, I started with the movie that won Best Picture Oscar, Platoon, Oliver Stone's movie, you know, sort of semi-autobiographical about Vietnam. You know, Tom Berenger was great in it, and Charlie Sheen. I think it's a classic.
Yeah, Berenger was evil, man. That guy was just evil.
He was evil.
Yeah, well,
he did a great job in that one.
Willem Dafoe at the end there.
Willem Dafoe was terrific.
Yeah, I remember, and I could be wrong, but I remember the talk with that movie was this is the first time they got close in terms of a war movie.
What was really
because
like,
it was always like, okay, let's kill the Nazis. But this one felt real.
It showed the seedy side.
The seedy side, the relationship between the soldiers.
Yep.
Trauma.
Right.
Yeah.
Very personal movie. Very personal approach.
Is that the one where the guy took the butt of the rifle and just like killed that villager? Because the guy was like smiling at him, he just like freaked out.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yes.
He just like just wastes the guy. Just like bludgeoned him.
It was the next one I had was a big hit, Top Gun, you know, which inspired one of this year's best movies, Top Gun Maverick, you know, and it really solidified Tom Cruise's position as the biggest star of that decade, you know. It was fun and popular and, you know, perfect summer movie from Paramount.
Right. Isn't that wild? Over 35 years later, one, Tom Cruise is still a thing. And
seriously,
two, the second part of that movie comes out.
Right. Finally,
and it's the best movie and biggest movie of the year.
Kind of embarrassed the rest of the movies out there.
And his biggest hit ever, and the guy is 60. You know, I mean, I don't know any other actor who's had his biggest hit at the age of 60.
Right.
Especially when he was a $100 million guy anyway. Every movie that he
did
went over $100 million. Dollars.
And still doing his own stunts.
It's phenomenal.
What's next on your list?
I have Aliens, which is one of the few sequels that I think is better than the original. You know, it was the sequel to the 1979 movie Sigourney Weaver as Ripley, as we said. And she was so good in the movie that she's one of the rare performers who got an Oscar nomination for a sci-fi movie.
Is that the one where she's in that suit at the end, taking on the alien?
No, that's the first one. At the end of Aliens, she gets into that sort of forklift thing, and she comes out and says, "Get away from her, you bitch."
Right.
That's so badass.
Right.
I remember the theater screaming, like roaring.
Oh, my God. I can still hear the crowd roaring when that happened.
That was one of the creepiest movie monsters I ever seen, because it had the dual mouth.
Horrible.
Like, it had the mouth, and
horrible.
And the other one came out. I'm like, ah!
Yeah,
I'm good.
Well, they had a much bigger budget from the first one, so they're able to show more of the alien.
Absolutely.
And usually you get these movies, and it's like, I wish they just sort of kept it hidden, because in your mind it's so much scarier. This one, they did a great job.
Yeah.
They give me more of the alien.
Fabulous job.
Wow.
Yep.
What's next?
Next, I have Ferris Bueller's Day Off, which I think was my favorite John Hughes movie. You know, maybe because I was born in Chicago. I love the way Matthew Broderick plays hooky, and they run all over Chicago, and he gets involved in the parade. Just a fun teenage movie.
Right, and then they kill the car at the end. What happened?
You killed the car.
Who do you love? You love the car. You love a damn car. So the damn thing comes up to Jack and goes flying through the window. We all cried at that point.
That movie is a montage of classic moments.
Yeah.
Really is.
Yep. A nice stretch job with a TV and a bar.
Right.
How about that?
You know, I love when he's trying to decide if he's going to, you know, help him out or not. And you see him, I'm not going to do it. And he goes back out, I'll do it. And you see him from outside.
I'll go.
You see him outside. He's like, having a tantrum outside.
Jumping up and down,
then
throwing
walking
rocks.
Back in again, then walking back out. Yep.
I love it.
Throws his keys and he grabs his keys.
That's one of the best characters of all time.
Oh, Cameron. Oh, the best part.
Totally.
This is the part where Cameron loses it. And you're like,
yeah.
And they show you the entire city.
Yeah. It goes up and up. City, counties, state, United States, planet.
And it ends with his mouth. He's in the back of the car.
So you talked about the Top Gun sequel. Did you see the proposed sequel for that movie?
No.
It's the two guys that go on the joyride.
Oh, yeah, from their point of view.
Right,
what they
so
did.
They're not going to bring back all the original characters, I guess, or if they do, it'll be like a surprise.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily a direct sequel. It's more just, okay,
right. These
two guys had their own day off, and we sort of never really talked about it.
Yeah, because they grabbed that car, and they took off immediately.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, Ferris did all this stuff
they're
in the city.
They're playing the Star Wars theme and everything.
And shortly before they come back to get the car, you see them bring the car back to the garage.
Seconds before,
So there was all that time that they had the car. I'm curious to know what they did.
That's
there you go.
They only showed you one scene where they're doing the Star Wars thing on the car. They launched the car off the hill.
And just having the best day.
Yeah.
It's the best moment of both of their lives right there. You can see it.
You can trust me. I'm a professional.
Oh, no, man.
Take
it easy.
Yeah, that's a good one to have on this list. We're doing 1986 movies.
That one has to be on there.
It has to be.
Top five.
Totally.
Next.
Next, speaking of horror, one of the creepiest movies of the 80s, Blue Velvet, that David Lynch movie about murder and perversion in a small southern town. That was the movie that helped Dennis Hopper score a big comeback that year. He was in that movie, and he was also in Hoosiers that he got an Oscar nomination for. But he plays one of the most vile villains in Blue Velvet, I think, ever in a movie. He's amazing in it.
That movie is...
I've heard of it, never saw it.
A masterpiece.
Yeah.
It really is. It's so creepy and so atmospheric and just surprising from scene to scene. It's a classic.
Next.
Next is maybe one of the best Woody Allen movies, Hannah and Her Sisters. That's the movie that finally got Michael Caine an Oscar after being in the business for decades. You know?
Wow,
and
really?
I like him for comedies.
Absolutely.
You know, bananas.
Absolutely.
Take the money and run.
And Diane Wiest also got, so two actors won for that movie. And it's just one of his most enjoyable, you know, it's about these three sisters and their relationships with various men. I would say it's in the top five Woody Allen pictures.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting about this list? We asked Joe to do a top five, and then last night he sent 8, and then this morning he has 10.
Right.
If we do this tomorrow, he's going to have 38.
And I could do 15. Right. I could do 15, actually. And then I have Ruthless People, which is that hilarious Danny DeVito comedy where his wife, played by Bette Midler, is a real shrew. And when she's kidnapped by these sort of dopey people, he's actually thrilled. He refuses to pay the ransom, hoping that they will do away with her.
Yeah, I remember he said something and he goes, now, Darren, now that should do it. He's probably trying to get them to kill her. But meanwhile, while she's like, you know, in captivity, she starts exercising because she's like bored in this room, and she ends up like making herself look like mint at the end, and now he's like kind of like wants her back, and she was like, no.
And the kidnappers keep lowering the price, and at one point she says, I've been kidnapped by Kmart.
That is a great movie.
It's very funny. It was Bill Pullman's first big role. He plays one of the real dopes involved in the plot.
What's next?
Next is a movie we talked about when Ray Liotta died, Something Wild, that black comedy with Melanie Griffith, where she goes back to her high school reunion with Jeff Daniels, who she's picked up along the way, and Ray Liotta plays her ex, and he is so scary in the movie, and it was the movie that really broke him out. I'm sure that was the one that Scorsese saw and gave him, Goodfellas, based on that. It's a really, really good movie. Very strange. It starts as a comedy and then turns into sort of a violent thriller.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I only seen bits and pieces of that one, not the whole thing.
I haven't seen it.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's very good.
I think that's a good Psycho. Yeah,
a movie to watch.
He just got out of prison or something like that, didn't he?
Yes, right. And it's Jonathan Demme, and the music in it is great throughout the movie. He picks really interesting music to play in the background as they drive from New York back to her hometown in Pennsylvania. Excellent film.
All right, two more movies.
Next, I have Stand By Me, yeah, which was the classic coming of age. Rob Reiner drawing from a Stephen King story. You know, that's the movie that helped launch River Phoenix. These kids here, there's a body, you know, and they're going to look for it. And in the course of it, they go through all sorts of adventures. Classic film. I mean, people still watch that one.
Yeah, that was my pick from that year.
Yeah, I've never seen that one.
Yep.
Really?
That's a great
It just didn't do it for me.
It's a wonderful film.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder if you'd like it.
Give it another.
I don't know. I don't think so. The Sandlot's another one that like everybody loves. I've never seen it.
Completely different movies. Completely different.
You don't know if you wouldn't like it if you haven't seen it.
I mean, there was one interesting scene. Supposedly, they're like trestle or something like that, and the train's coming, and they'll have to try to run from it.
Yeah,
yeah. But you know, other than that,
well, you don't like kids to begin with.
But no. Well, you know, I was a kid once, but it just doesn't do it for me. Like it doesn't say I must watch this. You know. Like even the title "Stand By Me," okay. I'm just gonna think of that Benny Hill, that Benny King song, rather than Benny Hill, Benny King yep. song.
Yeah, I got it.
Benny Hill, but Yucky
yeah,
Sacks.
There are some movies that I won't see, and I know nothing about it really, other than the movie poster and right. you know maybe a little bit from a commercial. And this, I'm like, yeah, I'm good.
This falls to that category.
Yeah,
but they don't need me, obviously.
No, they don't.
Yeah, thank you.
There's a lot of great scenes in that, and it's one of the rare times that I think. A story was better on film than it was on the page.
Is sort that of
a
right?
Short,
right.
Based in a book?
Based on a short story.
Oh, I'm out.
AJ hears anything's based on a book, you're like, oh, I'm out.
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah.
And rounding out your top 10 of 1986 movies?
I had to pick The Color of Money. That was the movie that Paul Newman finally got his Oscar for. You know, Martin Scorsese directed. It was another hit with Tom Cruise that year. It was a sequel to The Hustler. You know, and everybody was thrilled that Newman finally got that Oscar that he had been denied for, I don't know, 30 years.
And Clapton did that song, right? It's in the way you use it, which was part of the soundtrack? Yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a good movie. That you know, it's one of like Tom Cruise had like this theme of movies, and that's why he didn't do the fire movie that Kurt Russell ended up doing. What the hell was that called? They were firefighters.
Backdraft?
Yes.
Okay.
Backdraft.
He turned that down because he did Top Gun, he did Days of Thunder, he did this movie, which is just it's all the same.
Right. Cocktail.
Yeah. Whatever.
Rain you man. Know.
Well, it was this. I do this. And then, something bad happened.
Right.
And then in the end, I'm good at it again.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. The dark period, the slow period, and all of a sudden, I'm back on top again. Yeah.
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 Cookie cutter.
It was cookie cutter.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I like that movie too. I love Paul Newman. I love that he got
Me too.
Oscar. I love the game of pool. So it was real cool.
Yep. Right. You're good at it.
They had a picture of Jackie Gleason on the wall in the pool hall.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Minnesota Fats.
Pretty cool.
Right.
Pretty cool.
Can you say Minnesota Fats anymore? Minnesota needs to lose some weight. Minnesota gravity friendly.
Yeah. AJ, what's your pick for 1986?
Well, I got Short Circuit. If you remember that one, Short Circuit's the one where number five is alive. Yeah. Had Steve Guttenberg, and I had that guy.
What happened to Steve Guttenberg? You was in like Police Academy.
Yeah,
Look Who's Talking.
Raccoon.
And
it did. It seemed like he did every movie on the planet.
Yeah,
for like
it became a joke.
That
like
one,
like a 6-year span, and then it just was like, all right, I'm done.
That movie where he was in a house and had the ghost. Daryl Hannah was the ghost. I think is what killed him because all of a sudden he disappeared
that
after
was
that one.
Terrible.
Yeah, it was horrible.
That was terrible.
That one right to video. Yes, that was terrible.
But Short Circuit.
Short Circuit, yeah. That was a fun one. I mean, Short Circuit 2, no, but Short Circuit was cool. I've got, The Money Pit, which is so relatable.
That was another one that I had.
Yes.
Yeah, Tom Hanks buys a house, and the house, it was this beautiful house, but it's just everything goes wrong. The funniest scene is when he goes to turn the light on in the kitchen, and you just see this fire. going through the walls, with the wiring just burning, and like all this stuff starts happening. All of a sudden, the whole kitchen just comes to life.
It implodes,
right?
Yeah.
And there was like a turkey in like the oven, and it just explodes, and flying through, and lands outside, and the little timer goes. He goes, turkey's done.
He's going through hell in the kitchen. She's upstairs, like, taking a bath.
Right.
She's putting her robe on.
Yeah.
The turkey bursts through the wall because it explodes out of the oven, and the little thing goes, ding! And she's like, turkey's done.
Yeah. That was the one where he's going up the staircase, and it starts collapsing, and he's running to the top, and he just manages to catch at the end.
There's a lot of great physical comedy in that.
Oh, my God,
You just sold that movie.
Oh, my God.
I thought I wouldn't want to see it.
Oh, my God. When he's going through all the workers and he just, like, completely destroys everything because he gets, like, wallpaper on his face and just, like, and then everybody's, like, scattering. Everything's falling. Hilarious. That's such a great movie.
He's excellent in it.
Fun movie.
Yep.
Joe Myers, thanks for coming on. Joe has an awesome podcast now, a major motion picture on Spotify. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Talking about how we, how annoying Nicole Nalepa is.
In a nice way. Yes.
I mean that in the best way possible.
Right.
I mean, she's just so talented.
They were just saying she's perfect at everything, which she is.
I know. Can she ride a bike?
I'm sure. I'm sure she could stand on the seat.
Is she potty trained?
She'll probably sing while she's doing it.
Probably.
And play piano.
And play the piano.
She's the best. Right. She's a good friend
of
mine.
Do calculus and stuff.
Yeah. No, but she's so talented.
She is.
Multi. Yeah. It's embarrassing.
It's almost annoying.
It is. Almost?
Yeah. She's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
Right.
She's amazing.
She seems like one of those people, everything just comes very naturally easy to her. And you're just like, can you just struggle a little?
Oh, so nice.
Yes, exactly.
Like she could like stub her toe and be like, oh, well, you know, these things happen.
Sorry about that wall.
Oh, it's okay. I'll grow another toe.
Yeah.
No, but you know, in school, it was like, oh, we're having a talent show. I was like, yeah, of course, Nicole's going to leave.
Just give her the trophy.
we have to go through this whole thing?
You know what?
Just hand it to her,
exactly,
please.
Right. Save me the hours embarrassment of actually rehearsing.
Yeah. Oh, you want us to come out so we can lose.
Oh, yeah, and I did. We did that.
Well, because you were saying you did Dancing with the Stars.
The Dancing with the Stars thing, and I was terrible. I was last.
You were great.
I have a field of five. I was six. So, but my God, she was all over the damn place. The guy she was with was spinning like a top on the floor.
There's a lot of talent at Channel 3.
Yes, there
Nicole's
is.
She's just a great talent.
Right.
Sing, dance, news, weather, right. Whatever.
She does it all.
Yep,
Nobel Peace Prize.
Lauren Richardson's here. She's a meteorologist and reporter at Channel 3. When you put together the weather, do you have to check with other people, because I noticed that you guys are always on the same page.
Well, we obviously, so I get into work at 3 a.m. on the weekend. So, you know, I don't text anybody at that time of the morning, like, hey, what do you think about this? But
you look at what the weather, what they were saying.
Well, of course,
it was last night.
Right.
Yes. So we converse that way, which is always good.
Because that would be funny to watch, too. Like, there's a storm, and, you know, you got one person, they got the jacket off, the sleeves
at 9 a.m., right. The changeover.
Right. And then another person doesn't think it's happening. Right. No, we're always on the same page.
She's
yelling
her nails.
In the background, not going to happen!
Right, she's filing her nails. I'm going to get a pedicure later on.
Yeah. Yeah, so I get Mark Dixon is the chief meteorologist.
Yes.
So whatever he says, that's kind of what everyone has to fall in line with. How does that work?
We all kind of converse on our shifts. You know, we notice any changes and we will keep in touch with the next person to let them know what's going on. And that's kind of how we, you know, converse. So we're all somewhere, and we have a text chain going sometimes, too.
Okay.
We'll all talk that way, too.
Oh, God, dark clouds coming in.
No. You put the weather together, what do? You're looking at maps and you're looking at.
Yes.
You really have to, because you're actually a meteorologist, which is different than a weather person. Weather person is someone who's in broadcasting. A meteorologist is someone who studied the subject.
Well, I went back to school the past 4 years at Mississippi State Online. So I took 17 courses, and I'm currently going
for
my...
You make that sound like it's not a real school.
Oh, no. It is.
Okay.
It is. It's a, you know, it's a school down in Mississippi. But I did it online. So I, you know, I'm here doing
it. Sometimes that's harder.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, I took a ton of classes. I'm going back for my bachelor's degree now in meteorology. So yeah, so it's good.
Cool. Now, how does that benefit you having a bachelor's?
You know what?
Are you going to be better at telling the weather, or you get paid more for that?
I think it will just enrich what I already have under my belt. More math classes. Once I get that.
Who would sign up for that? Good
right.
for you.
Right. To my right.
And well, stupid us riding bicycles around.
I mean,
she's
guys,
learning
I
stuff.
I did not write, know how to ride a bicycle. I also wrote this in my survey, and I don't know if you saw this, but I do know the U.S. presidents in order as well. And I have my dad to thank for that. What are you looking at, Ashley?
We're going to make a video.
Oh, sorry. Okay, never mind. So that will be coming up.
We're going to put you through the test now.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Yeah, here we go.
All right, well, now you're going to test my knowledge.
You kind of did mention it.
You'll be fine. It's just like riding a bike. Oh, wait.
A potty training, yes.
All right, so Lori Richardson, Channel 3 meteorologist, says she knows all of the presidents. She can name them all. Here we go.
Almost. You want me to do them all? Right now? All right, okay.
Yeah, you want to do it tomorrow?
George Washington, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, James Monroe, John Quincy Adams, Andrew Jackson, Martin Van Buren, William Henry Harrison, John Tyler, James Polk, Zachary Tyler, Millard Fillmore, James Pierce, Franklin Pierce, James Buchanan, Abraham Lincoln, Johnson, Ulysses S. Grant, Hayes, Rutherford Hayes, Garfield, Chester A. Arthur,
wow.
Grover Cleveland, Benjamin Harrison, Grover Cleveland again, William McKinley, Teddy Roosevelt, Taft. Okay, this is where I get a little.
You got 28. It. You got it.
You got this.
Okay, 28 is Woodrow Wilson. 29 is, did I say Hayes already?
You did.
Harding.
Yep.
Harding.
Right.
30 is Coolidge. 31 is
Rita.
Hoover. 32 is FDR, 33, oh my God, is Truman, 34 is Eisenhower, 35 is JFK, 36 is Lyndon Johnson, 37 is Nixon, 38 is Ford, 39 is Carter, 40 is Reagan, 41 is George Bush, 42 is Clinton, 43 is George W. Bush, 44 is Obama, 45 is Trump, 46 is Biden.
Nailed it.
Wow.
Nailed it.
That's unreal.
Yeah. Yeah, and that is thanks to my father, my dad growing up.
I don't even know a lot of these. I heard these names. I'm like, really?
There are a couple. I'm like, really?
He read me the presidents growing up, so every night we would talk about a different president.
No kidding.
Yeah, my dad is awesome.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. That is awesome.
Yeah.
My dad would say, "What's Cheese Whiz?"
So now you know. Did I get all of them right? I think
you
did. Okay.
Like we're gonna check.
I was reading right along.
You were okay.
Oh, she nailed
okay.
it.
I was nervous. See, my palms were sweating. Okay.
Holy cow!
Whew.
Wow,
that was pretty good,
huh?
Thank you, guys.
Is that what you did to get your husband?
No, he doesn't. I mean,
if
he doesn't follow
day,
presidential
like,
history.
I can name all the presidents.
Before we order French fries, I got to tell you about the presidents.
Yeah. How do you pass that up?
How did you meet your husband?
So we actually met in news when I was first starting out. He was a producer for a long time.
He was a suspect.
and he trained me because I was an associate producer.
In Connecticut? Are you?
Yes, in Connecticut.
Okay.
Not at WFSB.
No, but he's from Connecticut. You're from Connecticut.
No, he's from New Jersey.
All right.
But he went to school at Quinnipiac for journalism.
All right.
And then, you know, I was like an aspiring journalist and we were going to meet for coffee. And then that turned into dinner. And
good.
You know.
Good.
Now we're married.
How did he propose? I'm always interested in how the proposal works.
Oh, gosh. Well, this is a really good story. So we were in wine country. I hate surprises. I feel like I always find every surprise that's happening.
Uh-oh.
So he, you know, I asked him, I said, are you going to propose to me on this trip? And he said, no.
Wow.
He said,
you knew.
I had a feeling. And he was like, no, I'm not. He's like, you know, I'm saving up my money.
How did you have a feeling?
I just, you know, I don't know.
Like, why is he taking me wine country?
Yeah, he booked this trip to California.
California wine country.
Yeah, wow. I mean, beautiful.
Not like
the
wine trail over here in Connecticut.
Yeah,
exactly.
We went to a package store. I'm like, he brought you to a winery.
Yeah, no.
He went to wine country.
We went to California.
Went to a package store. Yeah.
We were in a bed and breakfast. And, so we're driving there in the rental car. And he has the ring in his backpack or whatever. So we park the convertible at that. The bed and breakfast.
Convertible, yeah.
Yeah. It was, he really did it a great job. And so we popped the trunk and he's like, hey, take my backpack out. He left the pocket open with the ring in it. Didn't realize it. So I pull out the backpack, the ring box
flies out. Whoops.
And, you know, my husband, I love him. He can't hide his emotions. So he just was like,
Jersey.
Right. Like literally, like
Jersey.
His eyes were huge. So I was like, oh my gosh, this is happening. So I just looked at him and was like, those must be really nice earrings. And then we just pretended. We pretended like it never happened. We pretended.
That is amazing.
For like 4 hours, we pretended like I never saw it. And then he proposed to me four hours later.
That's cool.
But I felt really bad, you know, that happened. But I said yes, obviously. Everything worked out. And it's, you know.
That's nice.
Yeah. So that's it's really been great ever since.
Wow.
Well, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Great to finally meet you. Been watching you on TV for years.
Exactly. Oh, well, thank you, guys. It's great to meet you, too. This was so much fun.
Lori Richardson, Channel 3 Weather. Tell Scott we said hi.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.